There used to be the whole point of immigration is you wanted to take the best of the best. That was the idea. That's how we did this thing back in the day, before I was here. Not my day, but you know what I mean. And you would take the best of the best, the creme de la creme. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what you want? Of course that's what you want. It's what I want, right? So you take those people, those are who you want in. But now we're taking the low of the low. And I know this doesn't sound very Christian-like, so you'll forgive me a moment here. Indulge me. So now we're taking the lowest of the low, the MS-13 gangs, the drug cartels, the terrorists, or the people who Carol just said want a handout, an economic handout, because government is the brand, and they have a lot of money. Yeah, of course, that's what people think. These people have no idea we're in debt up to our elbows. We have no money. We're bankrupt. The country is totally bankrupt, people. Nobody wants to admit it.
It's time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint Presents.
Welcome to Viewpoint Presents. This is Malcolm Omo. Over the last 150 years, there's been a dramatic change, friends, in global demographics. Changes are happening now more rapidly than ever before. Now, a lot of that is technology-driven, but it's also global events, mass migrations on a continental scale, and then you have aging populations, changes in our daily lives, changes in culture, language, and borders. What's the cause of all this change, and what are the effects upon our individual lives, our communities, and our countries? You know, are all these changes positive? Is it progress? Now, politicians talk all the time about diversity and multiculturalism and a global economy. Some are even talking about a one-nation world. Is this the future? Is this what we have to look forward to, friends? Big question here, right? Viewpoint Presents is a 10-part series. Today we finish the entire 10 parts, friends, with a changing world. Our panel today, Dennis Santiago is here, Dr. Carol Swain, and Terry Beatley. Let's jump right into it here. And well, to start with, what is the number one cause for all of these changes? What do we think is causing all of this? We're speaking basically of the cause for millions of people that we're seeing moving across continents. There's a major movement of people in Europe that has happened, as you know, with all the borders being dropped and people are migrating over there in big, big, big numbers. We're seeing it here in the United States as well. Dennis, let's start this off. Now, I'm wondering, is it as simple as because the grass is much greener on the other side of the fence that people are trying to jump into like places like Europe and the U.S., or is there something else behind this?
Oh, there's something very, very deep behind it. 150 years ago was the ascendance of countries like the United States onto the world stage and the beginning of global powers at the back end of a industrial revolution-driven colonialism. That's ending. And the superpowers are beginning to contract, and into the vacuum our regional conflicts are beginning to arise again. And as those conflicts come up with no superpowers, you know, essentially what we had for 150 years was in the end of it, the U.S. and the Soviet Union being kind of like Rome, and that's going away. And in that vacuum, you're seeing all kinds of changes happening. The industrial world has now become pretty much global. It's not concentrated in any place anymore. And now you have the people moving around to chase where they can survive in a technological economy. What does that do? It causes regional wars. It causes conflicts. It causes people to have to move. It causes people to be displaced. That's
interesting.
You know, we're seeing this world change right in front of our eyes, and we're living it.
You know, that you always make me think, When you say the superpowers are contracted, I've not looked at it in that way, but that does give me pause, by the way. It makes you think a little bit, what is there to that? And you remember coming through the whole Cold War and all of that. And right now, you've got the movement of China happening. That's a big piece of this, of course. What's happening with the United States? We're sort of a big question mark at this point, what our future looks like. Dr. Carol Swain, let's pick up there in the opening remarks here about... Again, I think a lot of us have kind of a pit in the pit of our stomach, in our belly, if you will, about what the future holds for the United States. We seem to be at this pivotal tipping point, if you will. What do you see?
I would say that there's no one major cause for all the movement, but there are people, I would say that they are like the global elite that have set as their goal to live in a society where there is no one world power. And so a lot of the globalism and the movement of peoples is being encouraged by outside forces. And I think that the United States and Europe, those nations are a magnet because they're first world nations, and the people that are migrating, you know, some of them are coming for a better life, but some of them seem determined to turn America and the UK into some form of the nation they left behind.
That's exactly it. What I'm wondering, Carol, is who are those outside forces? I mean, I really want to think about that a little bit here. You have a quick answer to that? I mean, yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? Who are they?
One would be George Soros and his organizations, his global organizations. You know, there are billions of dollars that have been poured into countries to create unrest in certain cases, but also to encourage the migration of people.
Yeah. You know, we just did a program, one of the parts of the series, Carol, we just did on the deep state. And let me just suggest to you that name did come up once or twice, by the way, Soros, when you're talking about that subject matter. But all right, Terry Beatley, let's pick it up here about, again, this really just trying to get a sense of what's happening in the world. What is your take on this, this movement of people and what we're seeing across the continents right now?
Well, I agree with Dennis to a certain degree that, yes, these are just changes taking place. But I also say it's manipulations, and which then leads back to politics. And at the end of the day, I mean, I know it's easy to sit there and say follow the money trail, but I think that's absolutely critical is to follow the money trail. How are these people packing up and moving and doing these mass migrations? So I just thought, you know, when you look at what happened in Germany, Why would the Chancellor of Germany, you know, Merkel, have allowed the invasion? So not to go deep into this right now, but I mean, I think it's money, I think it's fear, and I think it's intentional manipulation, if you will, of language, border, and culture.
Yeah, that's Terry, you're right. And, you know, Angela Merkel's reputation has been forever tarnished as far as I'm concerned. She'll never gain it back for what she did to Europe. I mean, to me, she is one of the singular reasons Europe has had the problems as one of the leaders of Europe. But also, look what's happening in France right now with the yellow vests. That's been an ongoing problem. And people have had enough. And we're seeing this uprising coming from all areas of the world. And obviously, it's a trickle-in effect, people. A lot of it is a trickle-in effect because we're more connected today than we've ever been before. I mean, technology communications has exploded. I mean, we didn't have this when we were kids. It just wasn't here, people. It's here now. And it's a new way of doing business, and I know you talk about that all the time, Dennis, as a global stability guy and a communications guy, and we are connected like never before. Now, let me ask you this, one more summary point before we really open this conversation up here. I want to touch with you all on here quickly. Dennis, what are the greatest dangers? We talk from global immigration. Let's stay right there a moment here. We talk about what these dangers are: cultural, religious, economic, health, disease, or is it all political? What are the greatest dangers from this global immigration that's taken place?
To me, the greatest danger that I see is human pride and hubris. We have people that actually believe that social engineering is something that they can control. And so they set these things into motion. They never end well. You know, the bottom line is when you start messing around with people's lives, sooner or later, things crack and you get wars and people die. And our track record of social engineering on a global scale usually results in about 11 million people being displaced per region and 400,000 people dying every decade in places that people try to mess with this stuff. And it's starting to happen in more places around the world.
You know, what comes to my mind, Carol, is we're forcing the issue. I kind of think in some ways, this sounds a little odd, Carol, but in some ways we are playing God. I mean, I get that feeling, at least when Dennis puts those remarks out there, like, you know, we're playing with things in humanity that maybe we shouldn't be doing. I don't know. There's something that doesn't feel right about it. When he says social engineering, he puts it out there. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, I agree with Dennis, and the secular society, you know, they believe that they can come up with the solutions to all of man's problems. But we know by looking at history that whenever they try to solve man's problems, they usually make them worse. And, you know, sterilization, the abortion that's so widespread, all of those things are man's efforts to control the population. And they have a devastating impact on the groups that are targeted.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, if I had the opportunity to put a panel group together to like we only have one president, but if we were going to lead the country, we had three people I could choose to put in a role to protect our interest and do what's right, I probably would pick Dennis Santiago, Dr. Carol Swain, and Terry Beatley. So, I mean, that's a good place to start, right? Not that it works that way, but I would give that a shot, people. What a great opening to this program, friends. So let me tell you just a moment what we're doing here. This has been an extraordinary series, a 10-part series I have put together, Viewpoint Presents. And it just felt like the right time to do this. And we took on some of the biggest topics of our generation, challenges that we needed to talk about, like today, the changing world population. This is the 10th in the series today, by the way. But terrorism, the deep state, the Orwellian state, climate change, immigration. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. You know, you've seen that one as well. So, you know, we've covered some ground here, people. It's all on podcast, whatever has you've heard this series on talk radio, and you can catch it all on podcast. So we'd certainly invite you there at it's all happening, friends, back at AmericaOutloud.com. Let me give you some formal introductions here. Introduce you formally to Dennis Santiago. He's a political analyst and regular commentator here at America Out Loud. He's a subject matter expert in global stability and finance policy. Dennis's emphasis on the national interest of our country above the political and partisan makes him one of the most interesting and truly steadfast voices on the network. Dr. Carol Swain. She's an award-winning political scientist, a former professor of political science and professor of law at Vanderbilt University. She's the author of 8 books. Dr. Swain is the host of a new show called Be the People right here at America Out Loud, and it's been truly a blessing to get to know her over these past many months and call her a friend, as well as Dennis and Terry. And next, Terry Beatley. She's president of Hosea Initiative. Hosea Initiative teaches a broader understanding of the abortion industry's exploitation of women and children. She's an author and host of What If We've Been Wrong? That plays right here in America Out Loud as well, friends. So, friends, we got a lot of Viewpoint here today, as you can hear with the big voices. Stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. And all right, so we're seeing a lot of these changes with the immigration, the movement of people. We've seen a lot of migrations in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, really, that were driven by the Industrial Revolution. And this changed the world, clearly. But a lot of these people that migrated into the United States really came from Northern Europe and the Mediterranean countries, and these were people, many of them had wealth and money and power, and this is really was the origins of where the United States really came from. When you think about it, you go back to our framers people. These people wanted to immigrate to the U.S. for greater opportunity and religious freedom. They didn't have that in their countries, clearly, right? And that's still a problem today, actually. Man has never fixed those problems. They still exist. The immigration we're seeing today is different. Totally different. Central America, Africa, Middle Eastern countries to Europe, and they're trying to migrate to Europe and the United States, and it's driven by, well, oppressive governments, lack of opportunity, and a desire for freedom. Look at Venezuela. What's going on there, people? I mean, you can see this everywhere. So this is part of the problem. So I want to start right here. Can Europe and the United States maintain? Can we maintain our cultures? I'm wondering. With these millions of immigrants that are entering their countries, and a lot of these people, let me start, Dr. Carol Swain, with you. A lot of these people that are migrating here, they're not seeking assimilation, if you will, but conversion of their countries. This is a big problem nobody's really paying attention to. So they're not really learning the English language. They don't really want to follow our laws. They want to change our laws. They want to, you know, that's why it always comes up about the Constitution. And, you know, should it be a framework that we hold steadfast or change it as we go? And that's always a big conversation here. We're having it today. But, you know, a lot of this influx of people, they want to change it to their way of life, Carol. They want to bring it back to what they want. So they're trying to make the United States into, and this really becomes a problem. Because when you look at the Middle East and you look at Europe and you look at other nations, a lot of the infighting is civil wars in these countries is what tears them apart and tears them down. I have a sneaking suspicion we're in a lot of trouble here, Carol, in the United States. What do you say to that?
I would say that you and I and the people on this interview may want to maintain America's culture, but the political left, they are encouraging people to come and maintain whatever values and culture they left behind. And so if there was an American will to preserve a certain set of values and principles and support for our Constitution, I believe that that would be something that would be encouraged and transmitted to newcomers. But that has not been the goal, I would say, for the last 20 or 30 years. So people are not encouraged to assimilate. They're encouraged to keep the culture, the cultural patterns that they left behind.
Yeah.
Or that they should have left behind. They didn't leave them behind. That's part of the problem. And if you look at our nation's founding, there's no way you can get past the fact that the people who founded America were overwhelmingly Christian, and that this started off as a Christian nation. And so when you have people with just numerous religious practices come into the country and no one's assimilating, I think you set the stage for conflict.
Yeah, totally, totally. Carol, I mean, you know, in God we trust. In God we trust. You're so right. The Judeo-Christian values of where we started are very, very clear. But Carol, right now, I mean, we're under siege. I mean, they're tearing historical statues down and they're tearing things up. And it's like they don't want, it's like everything is bad. Everything is bad and they don't want it out there. And it's like, how do you destroy history? I mean, what the hell is that all about?
Wait a minute. It's not the immigrants that's destroying history and everything's bad. It's the political left. And we can take it to the cultural Marxists. And their goal is to destroy America as we know it. and to create a global society. And there is no God in their eyes. There is no Judeo-Christian heritage to be preserved.
And really, truly, aren't they, what you just laid out there, and isn't that the responsible parties, what we're speaking about right now, Carol, for this open border syndrome and anything goes and let everybody come in, and America's that torch and the liberty in the harbor there, and the crazy placard they put on after the fact is supposed to welcome everybody who needs a pup tent somewhere. I mean, that's part of the problem I think we're having right now. We're beating each other up, aren't we?
Well, you know what's sad is that many of the immigrants who come here because we have been a nation of laws, and we have had, you know, religious liberty and freedom,
yeah.
And all of that is being erased. In fact, the nation has reached the point that I barely recognize it.
I know. Carol, you say, you know what I'm thinking about here? You say, oh, they want to come to, you know, because we have laws. We're a nation of laws, so that's like attractive. You know what really stinks about that? Is they're bringing their lawless ways to our nation of laws. I mean, look at these gangs and the drugs, yeah?
Well, wait a minute. I would say, again, the finger points back to America and its politicians because they have not enforced our laws. And so when newcomers come, mm-hmm. we are the ones that should be setting the standard.
Exactly.
So I don't blame them as much as I blame our politicians and our other leaders who have not set a standard and have not encouraged people to assimilate and become American.
That's 100%. That's exactly it, Dennis. I mean, that's where we come. That's the problem we're having right now across the board. And Dennis, we talk all the time about this on this platform, about how to get around what Dr. Swain just puts out there about the political elite. They're hell-bent. And I know there are times you text me a crazy message at all kinds of hours from the West Coast, and you'll say, you know, and that's not a reflection on you, by the way, when I say that, Dennis, but when you say something about the political leaders or how outraged you are and what's really developing here, but it's... There's no control in this situation, Dennis. I mean, we can't seem to... There's no remedy. The remedy is the votes. Voting them out of office. But the American public, a good part of this public, and you live in California, you live in ground zero for the lunatics out there. With all due respect to my friends in California, by the way, I have to qualify that because I have a lot of dear, passionate friends out there who have brain cells and who are fabulous people. And we have a lot of audience in California. We love you dearly. But the crazy people, Dennis, my golly, what's going on out there?
Well, let me tell you, Malcolm, you're the best straight man in the whole world in terms of feeding a line, because I've always wondered whether the migration of Californians out of California into the rest of the country mm-hmm. is not the bigger cultural challenge that the United States faces.
Interesting.
Rather than the influx of people that are coming to this country, because as Carol pointed out, mm-hmm. they don't have laws that they can rely on to base their new lives on, because you've got people inside our country breaking our legal systems and our cultural systems down, you know, going back to that social engineering thing. And so is it the fault of the people that are coming in? I mean, we've gone through this before, right? In the 1860s, we had 15% new migrants to the country, and it was a tumultuous time, and we got past it. Now we have a 15% migration problem again in this country. You know, that's about the population amount of new people we have here right now. And it's causing the culture to have to shift. But then you've got this domestic cultural shift that's going on at the same time. And that, I think, the combination of those two is destabilizing the country.
Hmm. You know, we've got a lot of people, even people on this network, who have departed from California, as you just suggest. A lot of them have gone to Texas, and they've gone to even Nevada and other states like this. The West Coast is being transformed as we speak, clearly. I shake my head sometimes in complete disbelief, having no idea what the motive is and really where they want to go. I mean, I don't know. Terry, it's kind of a sheeple effect. That's what comes to my mind. And I'm afraid there's a lot of good people in the western part of the United States that are being caught up in this sheeple effect and they're not even aware that it's happening to the degree that it is. But they got to wake up because the politicians are destroying what really once was a beautiful land.
Look, I think it comes down to, what is a country? A country is culture, language, and protected borders. And the politicians have allowed all of that to crumble. Why? Well, we know that what they call the left, who now markets themselves as progressives, if you've really studied the history of that, those are the communists. And these are all communist planks in order to destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America. And so, to me, we've been celebrating multiculturalism and diversity for how many decades now? Mm-hmm. Give me a break. We're about as divided and splintered as it can possibly get. We're not united. I mean, soon we're going to, I guess, punch English, punch Spanish, and what's the next one? Yeah, what other language will be, in domination? So I just say, go back to the fundamentals. There's a history to all of this. We always try to figure it out. Well, what over the past couple of weeks, what's happened? No, there's a 100-year history in the Marxist invasion. And I think now with the other thing, we haven't named it yet, but one of the big, look at what happened to Germany. It's been a Muslim invasion of Germany. You cannot be a female, walk down the road, celebrate the new year without the threat of being raped. Wow. And they cannot control it. And then the left-wing media hides it. And it takes hundreds of people who filmed young women being groped and raped as well for the media to finally expose it. So if we want that to happen to America, we'll keep on with all the multiculturalism baloney. We're Americans. We're supposed to be united.
Yeah,
we're supposed to be united.
Well, hence the name of the nation. I mean, as you were talking, Terry, I started thinking a moment, and maybe our future name is the Divided States of America. Maybe that's where it ends up. I mean, it's pretty sad. It's pretty sickening, actually, what we're seeing in front of us. You know, I've said before this here, and not proudful at all, but I don't know if it's just, Dennis, I don't know if it's just technology and communications or how much, and I really think about how much risk there really is right now. There seems like there's a great deal. Now, I know there's always been risk throughout mankind and throughout humanity and our growth as people. But I have to tell you, it is worrisome when you look at the cultural wars that are developing and where we're at. And as Carol was just saying a moment ago, the exhaustive effort they're putting in to strip Judeo-Christian values from the world and from the nation. Terry talks about a woman walking down the road in Europe. Yeah, you can also be a Christian walking down the road and be assassinated for many, many different reasons. We've just had a major change in this country, Dennis. I'd like you to speak a moment about this cultural war a moment here. This is an important part of the change in world I want to talk about. We're covering a whole myriad of things here that are fitting into this puzzle here. And we just had two new Muslim politicians elected to high office here in the United States that shocked a lot of people for a lot of reasons that are outright supportive of Sharia law and outright supportive and hate the president. And they, in fact, as you know, one in the news just not too long back here referred to him as a MF. And that wasn't a kind gesture by any stretch in front of a live audience, by the way. That was quite obnoxious and rude. So talk about these cultural wars a moment here. As we have people like IQ Al Razuli and Dr. James Mitchell and others who talk about the cultural wars. In fact, they did a show called Terrorism, one of the 10 parts on this series here, Dennis. The global movements we're talking about right now, how much of a threat? I mean, you always speak truth and honest, but tell people right now, in your opinion, how much of a threat is that to Western civilization and the Judeo-Christian ethics right now, what we're speaking about, please?
Is culture really under threat? I would say, yeah. I mean, you've got with the election of people who are clearly now entering into our legal system that have very strong beliefs of a very, very different way of culture and law working in our country. We're about to enter a period where we are going to test all those ideas I think in a much more controlled manner than what happened in Europe, because Europe basically made the mistake of thinking they could solve their zero population growth problem by importing people. And, well, you know, there's a social engineering thing that didn't work out. But here we have now an experiment going where people are trying to work through our legal system. Will they succeed? Will they radically alter the culture of the United States in the long run? I don't think so, right? Because I think that the United States has one really great superpower on this planet, and it is the ability to take anybody from where they start and turn them into an American over two generations. And as long as the rest of us don't give up, we are going to assimilate these people too. They're going to start off being prideful of where they came from. I think they're going to discover that there's something to celebrate even more, and that's the United States of America.
All right. Now, you always are, and let me qualify, Dr. Swend, I really want you to respond to what Dennis says there, but let me say this. One caveat I want to give you, Carol, is that he is always an eternal optimist.
I am.
So he always looks at, so I just want to qualify, not that and that's a good trait. I mean, I'm not saying it isn't. But anyways, I would like you to comment on what, do you agree with those comments or do you disagree with that?
I disagree, because it's not clear to any of us what it means to be an American anymore. The political left has sort of pushed to move the, I'll say needle, for lack of a better word, of what an American looks like and acts like. And so our culture is in flux. And when newcomers come, what the left does is encourage them to have grievances, and they are not necessarily buying into the working hard American dream. You can, you can better yourself by playing by the rules. It seems to me that among a lot of the newcomers, they are looking for government to take care of their problems. And we know that there's not enough government to go around for American citizens, much less for millions of newcomers that come from poverty.
Yeah, that's a big, big point you just say, Carol. That's a big narrative we need to highlight a moment here. Because think about it in these terms a minute, friends, here. All right. The United States of America is a brand. It's a brand. And I'm a branding guy. I'm a marketing guy. So this is what I do. This is what I know. But it's a brand. And what's happened is, back to your point, Carol, the politicians and the elite have put out this brand, again, with the liberty in the torch, in the harbor, in that crazy placard. What kind of people do we want to have here in the United States of America? Think about it, people. Do we want the less of the less, the evil, the Satanist type people, the gangs, the drug cartels? Is that who we want here? Nobody wants to admit it. And then here's the thing I really want you to think about. Now, there used to be the whole point of immigration is you wanted to take the best of the best. That was the idea. That's how we did this thing back in the day, before I was here. Not my day, but you know what I mean. And you would take the best of the best, the creme de la creme. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what you want? Of course that's what you want. It's what I want. Right. So you take those people, those are who you want in. But now we're taking the low of the low. And I know this doesn't sound very Christian-like, so you'll forgive me a moment here. Indulge me. So now we're taking the lowest of the low, the MS-13 gangs, the drug cartels, the terrorists, or the people who Carol just said want a handout, an economic handout, because government is the brand, and they have a lot of money. Yeah, of course, that's what people think. These people have no idea we're in debt up to our elbows. We have no money. We're bankrupt. The country is totally bankrupt, people. Nobody wants to admit it.
I would say that the messages that are coming from the politicians on the Democratic side, it's encouraging people who might otherwise aspire to the American dream to lower their ambitions and just go along with whatever the government is handing out. And so I think that many immigrants, you know, are hardworking people. They set up businesses. They are very prosperous. But there's also that group that's coming from poverty, we are not encouraging them to become all that they can be, because we don't know who we are as a nation. And I think the further we stray from our Judeo-Christian roots and the values and principles that made America different, mm-hmm. the more likely we will suffer.
But Carol, there's a war with what you just said now. Hold on a moment here. There's a war. That's a very big point, a moment, because the people you just spelled out that are of quality and they want education and they want a better life and everything you just described, okay, all right, that person now, that you don't see that person hopping over a fence or coming under a fence or trying to kill somebody at the border, correct?
Right.
That's not the person. So there's the point. Those are not the people that are trying to, we're talking about a border war here. Those are not the people that are coming across in that way. They're coming across legally. So those are not the problem. It's the, and not to say that everybody is not entitled to a better life. My point is, what kind of an America do we want in the future? I want you to think about now this as we get into our next chapter here, friends. This is very interesting now. What kind of an America do we want? You know, it's a problem for God Almighty, obviously. It's an impact on humanity, and it rattles the mind, people. We'll be back with more Viewpoint in just a moment here.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Friends, welcome back to Viewpoint Presents here. Having a very interesting conversation. Excited to hear to have Terry Beatley here, Dr. Carol Swain, Dennis Santiago. Really, what we become is a haven for very interesting people and I think patriots and folks who want a better society and better our country and the world as a whole. So, you know, if we take the best of the best from these countries, Dennis, what's left there? And we don't want the worst of the worst. We do want the best of the best, but we need the world to move with us. We can't just have us and put walls up everywhere and have the rest of the world go to hell in a handbag. What's left at that point? I mean, it's kind of a strange juxtaposition of things. Do you see where I'm at?
I see exactly where you're at. Now, you know, for perspective, I really don't think we should be taking the best of the best and draining all these other countries and leaving them destitute. All that really does is it craters them in the long run to the point that they'll have more refugees trying to find places to run and hide. That
so then
work.
Do we cut off immigration then? What do
no,
we do?
No.
All right.
Okay.
Do we just take the middle and we say if you got too much or too smart, you can't come. And if you're too dumb or too this, you can't come either. What do we do?
No. There is actually a strategy you can do with this. So the United States has about 67 million non-immigrant aliens circulating around the country every year. They come, they go, they're here to work, they're here to travel, they're here to whatever. It cycles every year. You know, I got those stats off the Department of Homeland Security. Okay. We have an influx of people, the numbers in the 4 to 5 million range, with turnover, about a quarter of that are people coming in to immigrate permanently and other, you got an illegal problem. But the bottom line is, if we continue to learn to productively use those 67 million people that come to this country every year and go home and help that and use that as a way to put American influence in the world to help these countries be better. That's how we can convince those people that are desperate to come here from the bottom of their tier that they don't have to leave. If you look at what's happening in Central America, for instance, there are charity organizations to bring home the people that don't make it when they migrate up to the border and get rejected. And they're destitute because they paid their money to a human trafficker, and they bring them home. And they actually have charities down there to put them back on their feet. So it's not like we can't make this work. We just got to get a little bit more creative about it and you know, not so pronouncement about it.
All right, Terry, pick that up where Dennis is, please. And, you know, you see where I've gone in the last few moments of the dilemma in my mind, and you hear what Dennis says. What's your take on this right now?
Well, I want to encourage everybody to go to that website called, I think it's called By the Numbers. And again, I'm not that articulate on this, but I mean, he shows us this rapid exponential increase suddenly with United States immigration, you know, legal. I'm just right now talking about legal immigration and why it's so disproportionately out of whack. And so I think their position is, you know, cut it way back, because obviously we're already feeling the pain of all of this legal as well as illegal immigration. I just want to throw this in. You know, I had interviewed Freddie, I'm forgetting Freddie's name, but he had immigrated here from, I think it was Chile. And, you know, he talks about what it's like in Northern Virginia. And he goes out and he interviews the illegal immigrants, and they don't want any more illegal immigration. Now, why would that be? It's called economics 101. So these guys, let's just say they can stand by a 7-Eleven and get picked up for $10 an hour, you know, for labor. Well, the more illegal immigrants, it drives their illegal wage down. So it's economics 101. So if you're asking my opinion, I would say cut it all off. Seriously, cut it off until we get control over what we currently have. We've got to stop this multiculturalism big push, and we've got to be pushing for what makes the United States united. And I want to throw it in here too, because I believe what made America great was we recognize where our rights come from. And if we abandon that, well, you might as well just throw the baby out with the bathwater.
You're right.
We walk away from what is ingrained in that Declaration of Independence,
right,
and embedded in the Constitution.
Our rights, what Terry's alluding to there, I just want to make sure we're clear. Our rights come from God Almighty. They do not come from Washington, D.C. people, just to remind everybody, okay? That's a good lesson to remind. They don't come from Washington. Dr. Carol Swain, let's talk a little bit about this here and what Terry just puts out there. You wrote the book. Let me just tell everybody. You wrote the book, Debating Immigration. That book, by the way, is on Amazon, friends, and it's also in the America Out Loud bookstore. You can get it anywhere. And it's a great book. And you this has been a subject matter that's very near and dear to you, Carol. Is that even possible? What Terry suggested, I mean, that's not possible. We're never going to cut it. We're never going to stop the merry-go-round a moment to catch our breath. We're just going to keep going fast forward, right?
I think that we could solve our immigration problems if the politicians were interested in doing so. And in my edited book, Debating Immigration, and it's called Debating Immigration because there are different viewpoints, but the essays clearly show the impact on citizens in Europe as well as America. And the people in America who are hurt the most by the situation we have today, a low wage, low skilled Americans, blacks, whites, Hispanics, are hurt by the surplus labor. And there's no way that you can really honestly say that the situation we have today is a win-win for our country. It's not a win-win for our country. I would like to see your listeners and all of us push Congress to actually reform immigration. And it's more than just building the wall. Mm-hmm. Legal immigration needs to be looked at, as well as various policies like DACA and family reunification.
You know, it's take a point, and so I always appreciate and love about your response, Carol, is you always come back. The real answer that she's already said now a couple of times, and she's right, is our legislative body. You're talking about this and foaming at the mouth and becoming a political nut job is not the answer, obviously, people. We've got to have some political influence. It's got to be to legislate. And this is what they're not doing. So it really, this is a war. Let's remind everybody right now, please. This is a war that comes back to we the people. That's what something that, Dr. Swain, you talk about all the time. We the people, be the people. It's your brand. But it really is a job for we the people. This is a job for superheroes. You know, super. You know, it's a super Marvel. It's a Marvel film. It's a Marvel worldwide film, people. And the superhero we need for this job is we the people. So I visualize we the people there with the cape on and everything. Dun, dun, here we are, we the people. But that's what we need. And that means you out there that's listening to this program and your friends and your associates and possibly and potentially your enemies. We need them all. We need people to stand up. And that's the we the people we need. All right. Taking a look at all of this now to complete this puzzle on changing this changing world that we are living in right now. So here's a bit of a challenge problem I do want to touch on. There's a couple of points I want to make sure we cover here in our moments we have left here. And one is going to be we talked early on, Dennis, about the assimilation, the lack of assimilation in with a lot of folks coming from these countries. They want to bring their way of life, and Dr. Swain verified that as well. She said the same thing, and they're culturally doing that and not to assimilate with our belief. And I think we're all on that page of understanding that. You take a look at the United Kingdom right now, and their government is granting special recognition of Sharia law. And this is actually happening out there. And there are people, experts, who tell me that Europe is, they're in a heap of trouble. And we're talking all of it. I mean, France and Germany and the UK, and you're talking Italy, all these countries are in a heap of trouble. And this is going to be a trickling effect into America here, Dennis, as well. And, you know, are there really, let's talk about what you think about that first. How much of a problem do you think that is, sincerely?
Yeah, when you get a sizable fraction of your population having different cultural values, whether it's domestic or international in origin. I mean, you know, we have both in the United States in particular. The Europeans have both over there as well. You know, it is a problem, because then you are kind of a rudderless ship for a while. You don't really know where you're going. You know, and this has happened before in the world. You know, in 700 AD, at the fall of the Roman Empire, the Moors invaded Spain, and Europe had to face this problem once before. They seem to have made it out of it, but now they're doing it again. I do have a worry, though, and my worry is more domestic, and it is about the American people. My real worry culturally is where we're going to go when we no longer need manual labor Americans, because technology is making it so we don't need them anymore. And that is a cultural shift that I think is even more titanic than the stuff that we're talking about, because that's about people here having to find something new to do to survive. And that worries me.
Yeah. And that's the next chapter. Thank you so much for bringing that up. That's the next chapter that we're not even talking about. You know, we're so tied up in our own muck right now and our own problems that we're trying to solve here. We're not really talking about the next chapter. And the next chapter is, I have a whole magazine I have out on this. I'm very fascinated with the robots are coming, artificial intelligence. You know, Terry, when I use the words artificial intelligence, it's funny. When I use my mind immediately thinks of Washington, D.C., by the way, when I say those words, you know. Isn't that funny, you know, or not sad? Artificial intelligence, you know. Really, my mind immediately says, no, for real. I try not to do that, but there's a big part of my mind that says, oh, Malcolm, stop talking about Washington. You're talking about artificial intelligence. No, we're talking about robots. Come on. But Dennis brings up a good point here about this. This is the next chapter coming in. What do you think about that? Because we're not even focused on that. I'm afraid one day we're going to wake up and see the robots walking down the road. What do we do? What the hell do we do then?
Well, I'll be the first to say I am not well versed on robots and all of that. I look around. I'm out in the country. There's plenty of manual labor, plenty of jobs to be had. And
Dr. Swain, what do you feel about the AI revolution that's coming? Because it's actually coming under the radar. Nobody's really truly paying attention, but it's coming.
Well, I mean, I believe Dennis is totally correct. Those people, again, on the left that are pushing for $15 an hour wages are actually accelerating the changes, because many of those industries that relied on low-wage, low-skilled workers are replacing them with robots. And so we really don't need so many people now, and it's not clear, you know, where the people will go we probably will end up with a society where a significant percentage of the people, more than 50%, are on some type of government entitlement. They will be idle, and we know what happens when people are idle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get revolutions. That's my worry.
Well, we have, for multiple generations now, mm-hmm. instead of raising young people up to be those, independent thinkers, that entrepreneurial spirit, and this has been intentional in the public government-run school system to train them up to be worker bees, to train them up to be the widgets and the gidgets, as opposed to that entrepreneurial spirit. And so now I know this isn't some high level solution to artificial intelligence, but a lot of these people that we talk about, mm-hmm. The lower income and all, they have great ideas. So here's an example. Out in the country here, there's a lady who made vegetable soup. She made the best vegetable soup as far as, you can spit. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as the government found out that her friends and neighbors were buying it from her, they put her out of business. And I could sit here and go through 20 examples mm-hmm. of people who aren't high wage earners. But let me tell you something. These were moms who were able to stay home, homeschool their children, and make an extra $500 or $1,000 a month and be able to have that family life. So due to the politicians, due to that long encroaching arm of big government, we're fueling this. So, Carol, it took me hearing you talk. You're absolutely right. When they're driving those wages up,
it's the
owners are going to come out with a solution.
It's a factor. Absolutely. It's a factor, yeah. That's the first time I've ever heard a sentence with really delicious vegetable soup and spit in it. So that is a very unique way, to deliver that point, Miss Terry Beatley. So didn't get my appetite, really. Listen, last piece to talk about real quickly here, we're just a couple of moments left here, is China. I want to touch on China. Wouldn't be complete if we didn't talk about China. And I want to ask you, Dr. Swain, this, please. Our universities right now, there are more Asian students in top universities here in America studying science and technology than Americans. And let's talk about how that plays out in the 21st century. I mean, there are already talks of China having surpassing the United States in multiple technical fields, including what we just talked about, artificial intelligence and hypersonic weapons as well. But I've read many reports about the AI. They're in advance. They've been stealing American technology for some time now. How does China fit into this whole conversation, Carol?
I think we all better start learning Chinese. And part of the problem is that with the U.S., they're so focused on social justice and social engineering and educational training like Common Core, that they are not preparing students to be able to understand science and math. Our students are not competitive, they're regressing. And China is already at the point, I've talked about this, that they are controlling the supply of prescriptions. 90% of the prescriptions, drugs are being made in China. They're providing medication for our military. And we're in a situation as a nation that I think we have a national security problem. And there's no reason for us to believe that America will always be the number one world power. We have not exercise right. common sense, and we may very well fall to China or some other nation.
God, that is so well said. We have not exercised common sense. Just stop, everybody, stop what you're doing right now. Listen to those words, please. I beg you to listen to those words that Dr. Swain just put out there. And Dennis, I know you would give you the last word, support what she just said about exercising common sense. And she's right. She did a phenomenal, phenomenal conversation on medications from China and all. I mean, it was a brilliant show and conversation on Be the People, the podcast there. Last word on China, your take there, Dennis.
Well, so here's my worry about China. The world is increasingly dependent on a country that it's the only other country on this planet that has the same size economy as the United States. We're both sit about $16 trillion GDP per year. They have 2.7 billion people. We got 340 million people. So
there's your standard of living right there.
Well, but here's the thing mm-hmm. that I worry about China, Malcolm, is that if they get their economic planning wrong, mm-hmm. the catastrophe that it will spawn, the number of people that will die will probably be on the order of the entire population of the United States.
Wow. Wow.
So you have to be, you know.
Interesting thought.
I'm not that worried that they're bringing in intellectual capacity to maintain their ability to carry their culture. They have a much larger how do you keep people alive problem than we ever will in this country.
Right.
And so that's just kind of a perspective, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not judging them from the point of view of us versus them. I'm just going, if they fail, they take a lot of the world with them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really sure that we are ready to step up to fill the gap of what happens if they disappear.
Right, right. Well, which is what Dr. Swain just said as well. And I think everybody would agree with that. What an outstanding, outstanding conversation and dialogue here. It surpassed my expectations by far. I had pretty high expectations coming into this talk today, but this absolutely surpassed it. And this is the 10th in the series, friends, of Viewpoint Presents, Project I've been thinking about doing for really the last year and a half, and finally we had a chance to do it. The whole 10 parts are back at AmericaOutloud.com, and they're on the biggest challenges of our generation. And some of the most interesting people, you'll find scientists from NASA on there, you'll find terrorism experts in the case of Dr. James Mitchell, you'll find political analysts in the case of who you're hearing today here with Dennis Santiago, big thank you, Dr. Carol Swain and Terry Beatley, and you'll find all kinds of such unique voices. We say at the top of America Out Loud, let the silent voices be heard. We will be silent no more, people. We are we the people, and we intend to take it back. So let that be the warning blast out front of all of this right now. That's our mission. That's our platform at America Out Loud. We are pro-American. We are pro-Christian. We are pro-faith. We are pro-exceptionalism. So if you're anti any of those, you're probably not our customer. That's the way it is. And there is no apologies necessary for that. We're proud and brave, and we salute all of it. We salute God Almighty, and we are blessed you're here with the journey. Thank you for being here. Again, we'll see you back, friends. Contact us or email us at talk@AmericaOutloud.com. Friends, as always, the Out Loud truth continues back at AmericaOutloud.com.